Okay.
Everything is
what
being recorded.
Was done. What'd you say?
Everything is being recorded.
Okay, good.
There's an eye that watches. There's an ear that, okay.
Seder. So it was used for the structure of the Mishkan itself and for those crucial matters. Now, once the Mishkan is up, we don't need it anymore in future generations for that purpose. And the Machzit HaShekel then gets used for the Korbanot. Rashi, in the left Rashi on the Parshat Shkalim, says that even in the year of the Mishkan, of the Binyan Mishkan itself, there was a Machzit HaShekel given for the Vaveha Amudim and the Korot HaMishkan, and there was a separate Machzit HaShekel that was given for the Korbanot. And that the phrase Trumat Hashem, which appears three times, two of those times are for those two mitzvot, and the third time is for the general Trumat HaMishkan, whatever people happen to donate. If we are going to insist on the simple reading of the Tzukim, we're going to have to come to a very drastic conclusion. Now, the Kodrashi really was given twice. But if we insist on the simple reading that it was only given for this purpose of the Korot HaMishkan and the Vaveha HaMudim, and that in the future it would be given for a different purpose, we're going to have to conclude the following. The idea of giving Machzit HaShekel seems to be crucial in its own right. And it doesn't really matter what we end up using it for. Of course, there are halachot of what we're supposed to use it for. But those halachot change. At the time of the Binyan HaMishkan, it was for the purpose of Binyan HaMishkan. In future generations, in future years, it would be for the purpose of the Korbanot. But it doesn't matter. The mitzvah of Machzit HaShekel remains the same. The idea behind Machzit HaShekel is crucial above and beyond what the Machzit HaShekel ends up being used for. The mitzvah of Yitnu Li Truma is not a mitzvah l'dorot. It's not counted by any of the Monei mitzvot as far as I know. Although the mitzvah of Asuvi Mikdash is, the Binyan Beit HaMikdash. But the mitzvah of Machzit HaShekel per se is an eternal mitzvah. It's one of the Taryag mitzvot. And the fact that it was originally used for one purpose and ends up being used for a different purpose seems to be secondary to the nature of the mitzvah. So let's try to understand what the nature of that mitzvah is. To properly understand it, you know, let's talk for a moment about fundraising, because so let's face it, this is what it's about. It's a lot easier to fundraise by getting a lot of money from one person, from one single fund. You don't have to bother with everybody. You don't have to deal with everybody. You don't have to rely on so many people. The money comes in, you've got it, and you got as much as you need, and you use it for whatever you want to use it, and that's all. It would have been very easy, assuming that there were more wealthy and less wealthy people at the time of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, I don't really know that, but were that to be the case, it would have been very easy to focus on getting money from the people who could afford it more, and perhaps we'd even turn it into a mitzvah, you know, that the people who could afford it more should be paying more, people who could afford it less should be paying less, or nothing at all, and we don't have to collect money from 600,000 people, we collect money from 60,000 people, or from 6,000 people, or from 600 people, or 60 people, or 6 people, or 2 people, or 1 person, or whatever it is, and we've got everything we need, and that's all. But what would that do? That would turn the Mishkan into a private enterprise. It turned the Mishkan into something that is not being contributed to by Am Yisrael. It's being contributed to by a donor. And, of course, he'll want a plaque on the wall, or even if he doesn't, everyone will know this is the shul whoever his name is, Itzala, right? Like Shulman Krakow, Itzala Krakover, or somebody else. You know, this is his shul. He built it, and it's named after him. Or even if it's not formally named after him, you know, everyone knows that he built it. And Am Yisrael is not connected to the Mishkan. They're separated from it. They're detached from it. This is a fear. This is a pachad. The need for everyone to give to the Mishkan is required in order to create an egalitarianism, frankly, amongst the Jewish people in terms of their relationship to the Mishkan. Otherwise, it's the Mishkan of somebody in particular. And what do I have to do with it? What did I give? I gave nothing. Or I gave a pruta or whatever, but he gave $100,000, 100,000 silver pieces, 600,000 silver pieces. Who knows what he gave? And basically it's about him, and it's not about me. And I'm not really attached, and I'm not really connected, and I don't really count. And it's not just me who doesn't count, but my neighbor, who's also in the same neighborhood with me, and also can't afford very much, he doesn't count either. And the people who count, you know who counts? The Kalva Savua, the Rockefellers, the Fulbrights, the Carnegies, those are the people that really count. The rest of us, we don't really count. Along comes HaKadosh Baruch Hu and tells us it can't work that way. Am Yisrael has to be connected to the Mikdash, to the Mishkan. Am Yisrael has to be connected in its building. Am Yisrael has to be connected in its korbanot. There has to be an annual fund in which everybody's going to give and the same amount. And the notion of Hashir lo yarbev, adal lo yamid is a forced grand equalizer, which says, you know those Adnei HaMishkan? You know what my participation is in that? The same as yours. The same as Rockefeller's? The same as Carnegie's? The same as everybody. We're all in this together. I gave what I was supposed to give. He gave what he was supposed to give. And you know what he's supposed to give? The same thing that I'm supposed to give. And it doesn't even reach a full shekel. Just a machzit shekel. That's all. And we're all in this together. And then the Mishkan is really for the Tzibur. Then it's real kim of Asuli Mikdash Shachanti V'Tocham, plural. Then the Karbonot of the Tzibur that are brought are really from the Tzibur. Not that one person donated everything and we're going to make believe it's from the Tzibur. No, everybody has to donate. Everybody has to give the Machzit HaShekel. And each of us has a chelik in the Sach HaKol. Now the Rashi quotes a medrash in Parshas Korach that when Moshe Rabbeinu says Al Tefen Al Milchatam, the it was a tefila that Hashem shouldn't accept that portion of the Karban Tamid that was given by the Adat Korach, because everyone has a chelik, because everyone's in this together. And basically, the Korach has been removed from the tzibur by what took place over there. The need to attach everybody to the Ma'arechet HaMishkan, to the Ma'arechet HaKorbanot, is crucial. And that's why it doesn't really matter so much whether the Machzit HaShekel is going to be used for the Korot HaMishkan and the Vavim, or whether it's going to be used for the Korbanot themselves. What's crucial is that there's going to be a magbit, there's going to be an appeal to everybody, and everybody has to give the same thing, and therefore, by definition, everybody's share is equal, and therefore belongs to all of Am Yisrael. It's not just that we're equal, it's so that it belongs to all of us, and we're really all partners in what's taking place. This is issue number one, and halacha number one, and hashkafa number one in Parshat Shkalim. The fear that it would not be that way is the essence of this mitzvah. I just want to point something out. if you look in the Sifrei Hashkafa, like the Rishonim of like the Mor Nevuchim and the Kuzari and the and Rabbeinu Sadino and Samin of Deot and the Chavos Halavos, you know, each one of them deals with certain things that others don't deal with. As far as I know, the notion of Jewish equality and the emphasis on the participation of the tzibur is not explained or not emphasized by any of them. I'm happy to be corrected. It comes out much more from the halakha than from anything else. And, you know, the perushim chassidim on the Torah, because they're perushim on the Torah, they end up being masbir this much more because it's a, because of its connection to Parashat Shavua and to the mitzvot themselves. And this becomes a crucial point. Now, I'm going to say something which is related, but is actually a point in its own right. And this is also a second idea crucial to Parashat Shkalim. And before I explain it, I'm going to tell a story. There was once a very big Talmud Chacham who had a daughter, and there was a very wealthy man who had a son, and someone was mishadach between them, and they decided to get married, and they did get married. And the yeshiva, which this great Talmud Chacham taught, made a sheva brachos in it. And it turned out that it was the time of Shabbos Parashas Shkalim. So someone got up, a very notable person actually, even though I'm going to be critical of the Dvar Torah, and basically said, this week is Parashas Mishpatim, that's the way it was that year, and it's also Parashas Shkalim. This is the famous Talmud Chacham, he's the Mishpatim, this famous very wealthy man, he's the Shkalim, Mishpatim, and Shkalim, Shkalim, and Mishpatim, and that became the theme of the evening, of the Shidduch of Mishpatim and Shkalim. The truth of the matter is that this supposed Shidduch of Mishpatim and Shkalim is actually very difficult. A crucial question, a crucial difficulty in religion at large, and in the Torah as well, is the relationship between money and religion. They don't have an easy relationship. And let me take it a step further back. In The Lonely Man of Faith, Rav Soloveitchik points out that many of you are familiar with this, the notion of Adam 1, Adam Perakal, the universal man, the conquering man, the man who takes over everything, the man who puts the world in order, and the Adam, as described in Perak Bet of Rishit, who's a man who's looking for meaning in life, who's looking for a way of life, who's trying to figure out what everything is all about. You know, it's natural that the man, the Adam of Perak Bet of Rishit, is much closer to the importance of Avodas Hashem. But the Rav points out that Adam of Perak Aleph also finds room for religion in his ma'arechet, in his way of life. Religion is good. Religion creates order. Religion creates discipline, and you know, it's there's all sorts of good things that comes out of religion. The thing is that the relationship between society and religion under those circumstances is, to call Shalom Lishma, is an understatement. In other words, religion has its function, but certainly not what life is about. The relationship between money and religion can destroy religion. It often does, frankly. What frequently happens is that people use their money to control religion, to push things in their direction, to get what they want out of it, to get decisions made in their favor, And you don't always have to be an explicit briber in order to get this done that way. It could be, you just give the donations, and everyone knows that you have to be taken very seriously. You're on a different level. You're on a different madriga. You count in a way that that other people don't count, because you're the Baal HaMeah. You're the one who was the big donor. And it suddenly you become very honored and respected within a religious context. That's one thing. Second of all, religion in this context, in a different context, could also turn into a kind of a money-making profession. Religion is an excellent way of making money. And the better you are at religion, the better you are at making money sometimes. I have to tell you of the stories about people of many religions, including the Jewish one, including our own, who sell brachot and who charge heavily for it, who have put together amazing fortunes based on the supposed belief that these people have special powers, and there's a demand for money for them. And frankly, there's always a concern that religion becomes basically another profession. What do you do for a living? Well, I'm a doctor. I'm a lawyer. I'm a rabbi. What does it mean? These people come up in literature all the time. Priests and clergy who take advantage of their situation to do whatever it is they feel they want to do. And the way they can make a living is they're a preacher, they're whatever. And they call themselves men of God. And basically, it's their way of making a buck. Reb Tzadok, the purest of the Tanoim, who quotes Hillel saying, he doesn't quote Hillel, he says it himself, but he quotes Hillel saying, the concern of the interaction between religion and money, in particular, a mikdash and money, the building, the karbanos, so many other things that are attached to the physicality of the religion and money, it's absolutely dangerous. But what can we do? We live in a real world. You want to have a building, you need to pay for it. You want to have a mikdash, you want it to look nice, you have to get silver. You have to get things. How are you going to get it? Comes HaKadosh Baruch Hu and tells us, okay, we're going to have to do it, and we're even going to allow for there to be voluntary giving. But there's also going to have to be the basic frame of reference that's going to emphasize that everyone's the same. A basic frame of reference in which the money cannot be controlling of the religion. Hashir lo yerbe, hadal lo yamit. Everyone's going to be in this the same. Everyone's going to be in this together. Everyone's going to be in this in equal proportion. And as a result of the equality of what's going on, the whole notion of it being a way of making money or a way of one person controlling the situation as opposed to someone else is lost, disappears. We're all in this together. We're all in this equally, and money becomes neutralized. And we see that there is no notion of anyone standing out. No one gets mentioned specially in the Binyan HaMishkan. It's true the Nesiim gave the precious stones, that it would appear that the Adar HaPshat, the reason why the Nesim gave the special stones, was because those special stones had the names of the Shvatim on them. And since the Nesim were representatives of their whole Shevet, it was appropriate that the Nesim should give the special stones. I know the Rashi and the Baal HaTurim bring other reasons, but Adar HaPshat, that's what's going on over there. And it's not really that they're giving the Taurus and Siyam because they're more special. They're giving because that part of the giving had to be given with a Shevet in mind. But the basic notion of the problem, universal problem, of money coming into religion and making mud, making a mess, making a muck, and destroying its religious value is rectified by the mitzvah of Parshas Shkolim. And believe me, there's no generation in which this is not a lesson that we have to take very seriously. Because whether it's the Mikdash HaGadol, whether it's the Mikdash Ma'at, the need to remember that we're all in this together, that the great Nadvan is not really great, that really we're all the same, that we're all just a machzit ha-shekel, that in principle, ha'ashir le'yarbeh v'adal v'yamit is crucial in the hashkafa of religious support. Okay, so I want to thank you all for listening, those who have been listening, and those who are listening it over the tape. And Hashem should help that we should be able to encounter this mitzvah properly. But I'm going to stop now. Eliana, you still on? You can close the tape.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you.
Okay. Shalom.